Now turn to Hebrews and chapter 6. Here it speaks of a hope that we have. Hope is something that relates to the future. Faith is something that relates to the present, but hope is something that relates to the future. And in Hebrews 6:19 it says, we have a hope as an anchor of the soul. A hope, sure and certain, that enters within the veil. Within the veil is a picture of the Old Testament temple, which had a veil and God was on the other side. The presence of God was on the other side. So when it says a hope that enters within the veil, it means that I have a hope that enters into the very presence of God, and Jesus has entered there, verse 20, as a forerunner. Now there are many titles of Jesus that people know, and I know from my earliest Christian life I've heard people tell me Jesus is the Good Shepherd, He's the way, the truth and the life, and He's the resurrection and the life, and many titles of Christ like that. But there's one title of Christ. For years and years in my Christian life, I never heard anyone preach on it. And that was, Jesus is our forerunner. I've not read an article on that. And most Christians do not know that title of Christ as a forerunner. Because here, when you think of Him as a shepherd, you think of Him caring for us, the way, the truth, and the life. He's giving us something. But when it comes to forerunner, there He's shown as an example for us to follow. Someone who's running a race in front of us and telling us to run behind Him. It's a very, very important title. You know, in the Old Testament tabernacle, there were three parts. One was the outer court, and then in the middle there was a tent, and the tent had two parts, the holy place and most holy place. So there were three parts in the tabernacle: outer court, holy place, most holy place. Entering the outer court is to know Jesus as Savior from judgment, from the judgment against sin. We know Him as our Savior. Then the next step, you go into the tent where the lamp is burning and the oil is put in the lamp. It's a picture of Jesus who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. So we first know Jesus is our Savior. Our sins are forgiven. Savior from judgment and from hell. And then secondly, we know Him as the one who baptizes us, immerses us in the Holy Spirit. But then there's a third stage, and that is the immediate presence of God, where He is our forerunner. So I need to know Jesus as Savior, baptizer, forerunner. These are three stages in our Christian life. Initially, you come to Him and say, Lord, save me from the judgment I deserve because of my sin. And He cleanses me in His blood and I am forgiven and cleansed. I become a child of God. And then I must not stop there. Some people stop there because their whole life is self-centered. I want to escape hell. Now, if your only aim in life is to escape hell, you'll have a very dissatisfied Christian life. You'll never grow. Because you're only interested in escaping hell. And you think you've escaped hell because you've accepted Christ in your life. But you know, the thing is, in any stage in our Christian life, we can backslide. You can come to know His Savior and then lose your salvation completely. So the only way to prevent backsliding is by progressing. So I know Jesus is Savior. And then, as you progress in your Christian life, you discover that you're constantly defeated. And you're confessing and repenting and confessing and repenting, and you never seem to get out of that cycle of confessing sin and repenting, and that's when some people say, I want to know more. Then you begin to see God, and Jesus fills you with the Holy Spirit. That's a very real experience. Just like knowing Jesus as Savior, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you will not be an overcomer, no matter how many messages you hear or how many meetings you come to. And that's something personal, just like you're receiving Christ is personal. I want to encourage you, dear brothers, to seek and say, Lord, I will not let you go until you fill me with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, and I will give him the Holy Spirit like rivers flowing out from within him. I know in my own case, that's how it was. I sought God, and He filled me with the Holy Spirit, and I seek to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. But then He leads us as a forerunner and says, there's a race in front of you that you must run, where gradually we overcome all the things that we have inherited from Adam in our flesh. Every wretched, ungodly attitude that we have. God will give us more and more light. This race is where we run behind Christ. And we are told that is why Jesus came to earth as an example. He not only came as a Savior from our sin, but He said, follow me, not just believe in me. If you read the Gospels, He maybe says once or twice, believe in me. But most of the time, Jesus said, follow me. Today's Christendom mostly teaches believe in Christ. And that's one difference between what we teach in CFC compared to the others. Yes, believe in Christ, but we say follow Christ. Follow in His footsteps. See how He lived on this earth in our relations with other people. I must always think, how did Jesus relate to people? That's how I must be. How did Jesus react when people came for a fight with Him? He wouldn't fight back. Is that your testimony? I want to ask all of you a straight question. Is that your testimony that it is impossible for anybody to have a fight with you? That your husband cannot fight with you, no matter how hard he tries? That your wife cannot fight with you, no however hard she tries? Your neighbor cannot fight with you. People in the office cannot fight with you. Nobody can fight with you because you don't fight back. That's the testimony Jesus had. You could not fight with Jesus. He would not fight back. You could not even argue with Him because He will not argue back. So, these are areas where if you find that we're not reacting in different situations like Christ would, then He's not our forerunner. It says here, He's our forerunner who entered inside the veil into God's presence. I want to live in God's presence every day. Even while we're singing this morning, I was thinking, Lord, I'm singing this to You. You're here. Did you realize that? Did you just like the songs, or did you sing to Jesus who is here? To me, the most wonderful thing is to live in the presence of God every day, right from morning onwards. To say, Lord, I want to live in Your presence. I want to walk in Your presence. I urge you, my brothers and sisters, even if you don't know much of the Bible and you can't remember many promises and verses, seek to live in the presence of God. As I told you, for the first 1400 years, nobody could memorize verses. Memorizing verses is very good, but if it's only an intellectual thing, we don't become spiritual. Seek to live in the presence of God every day. And if you have a hunger for that, Lord, I want to live in Your presence from morning. As I wake up in the morning, I want to know Your presence. I want to hear You. I want to follow in Your footsteps today. Imagine if all of you young people begin to do that from this stage in your life. Can you imagine what you will be in 4 or 5 years from now? You'll be a truly spiritual person, and your life can influence many, many other people. That's the way God wants you to live. So try to understand what it means to be to follow Jesus as a forerunner. Ask the Lord to explain to you. What does it mean, Lord, to run behind you?